Hey guys, it's Adam. I just want to do a quick message before the episode starts concerning the Telegram chat group. Just be cool in there, guys. I've set down some ground rules from the start that I just would prefer people stick to, and if you don't, I'm going to call you out on it. I don't want people posting, reposting articles. I don't really want people talking about too many conspiracies in there. You want to show pictures of like what's going on in the sky around your house, that's awesome. But reposting articles is going to get you warned about staying in the group. I don't want that. I don't want people arguing about COVID or theology or Stu Peters and what's in the water in there. If you're having a back and forth with somebody and you realize it's just the two of you talking, maybe talk to them and see if you can take it over to a private chat group. I am a free speech absolutist, but that doesn't mean if you came to my house and started talking a bunch of dumb shit, I wouldn't tell you to leave. So that's it. Thanks, guys. I really want to encourage everybody that's listening to join the Telegram chat and let us know what's going on in your life. Keep it solutionary. You all know what that means. Okay, thanks. I'm out. Guys, welcome to End of the Apocalypse. I'm your host Adam with my co-host Chud X.
Hey,
come on, bro.
Oh, it's a good day. It's a day off. That's always a good day.
Yeah. Right on. Yeah, I don't have much going on today. I got a whole bunch of hay out in my field that I got to put in the barn that I've been procrastinating on to the point where the bottom of it's getting a little moldy. So I got to.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I got to get on it today.
Could help just to flip them, but that's a lot of work.
Yeah, I did. I flipped them all the other day. So
okay, good.
I got 110 bales. I got to get into the barn though. So
you think you got space set for it, or are you gonna?
I got enough space in there. I'll stack it in. But it sucks. I don't have a gate that's big enough to fit a trailer through. I'm gonna have to just make a ton of trips in my truck.
Yeah, you could bring a trailer over by the gate and then take your truck over and load off the trailer, something like that.
I don't have a trailer.
Oh, that's a big step.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, I'm gonna put my tractor out of commission after we finish this Zoom meeting.
What's going on with it?
I'm gonna drain all the fluids. I'm at over 400 hours. So nice. I'm gonna do my 400 hours. I'm at like 403. So
yeah.
I'm going to do my maintenance, and that this time is going to involve draining all the hydraulic and all the engine oil out of it, swapping out four filters.
Yeah.
So it's not my favorite thing to do, but you know, do it very rarely. So
yeah,
it's good to get it done.
Yeah. At least you're doing it on your own.
Yeah. Yeah. It's important to me to do it on my own, even if it's none of it is outside of my comfort zone, but if it were, it's important for me to do it just so I learn it, because I don't want to rely on anybody else in the future. Eventually I want it to be all mine.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to have to eventually do that. There's a bunch of stuff my tractor does that I don't even know how to do it. So I got to go through the manual and check it all out and do all that stuff. But yeah.
Yeah. That you'll probably have one at 50 hours or so.
Yeah.
Similar to what I'm doing. Because as you're breaking that engine in, you know, all the holes are getting bored to their right size by running the engine. So you're going to have a lot of metal in there and stuff. And there's, in some of these filters, there's like magnets that'll pull in all of that stuff and hold on to it. but you got to take that filter off and like clean this magnetic ring and put it back. So
yeah, KTM motorcycles have that too.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, KTMs are like famous for having like four different filters like on a dirt bike.
Yeah.
So they all have to come from Austria. Like,
are they kind of small in size?
Some of them are like really like skinny and long. They're just like strange deals, yeah. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm glad we're doing a solo episode. I've been struggling a little bit with figuring out kind of the way the show should go. I'm a little frustrated with Deborah's lack of participation in the shows. I know it's hard for her to, it's not in her nature to like interrupt, like what you kind of have to figure out how to interrupt on podcasts to like be able to talk. Cause a lot of times when we're talking with people that are sort of experts on something, they just want to go and go and go and go. And that's just like their personality or something. And you got to get in where you can, you know?
Yeah, sure. If someone's on a go, go, go for 2 hours straight and Deborah just sits and listens to it without asking anything or being involved, there might be a lot that she doesn't believe or doesn't, you know, like have time to comprehend. And at the end of it, it's just all a big mess or something, you know?
The problem is the retention of past knowledge. So people will just like glide over things because it's like conspiracy 101 stuff, but she's like not up on it still, you know? Like, so like they'll say something with the assumption that everybody knows what they're talking about and keep going. And then that's like, you know,
like the dinosaurs are fake and gay.
Yeah. And then once you get there, you're like the comprehension of the rest of the show is kind of lost because you don't have the basic foundation. And I feel weird because I try, like when her and I do like solo stuff, or sometimes I tell people before, I feel weird asking people to do something for the show, but I say like, if you can keep her involved and like ask her questions instead of just going for it, like that's what we want. And some people do and a lot of people forget, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, it depends on what type of shows they've done before, what their show is like, if they have a show, that kind of stuff. I try to bring her in. Like sometimes I'll hear someone talking and I'll say, hey, I'll interrupt to say, hey, I bet Deborah's wondering what you're talking about, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm probably right. You know, I don't like to put words in anyone's mouth. Maybe she does, but you know, I can see that it's going to go right over. If she isn't in on what we're talking about, it's going right over her.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll work at it.
Yeah.
Do you have any specific ideas?
Well, I think I'm going to start doing just more solo shows without a guest, just her and I.
Yeah.
The problem with that is then I have to do a bunch of research in my spare time, you know?
Right.
So that's what I wanted to do with the show when I first started.
Right.
And then like four shows in after, you know, researching the Franklin scandal for 15 hours before I did a show, while I was still working full time, I was like, oh, I don't think I can do this every week, you know? So,
well, that's where relying on experts is great to have the guest.
Yeah.
I know prior to podcasting, so like a year or more ago, I did more research than I do now. Which is backwards. I should be doing more now that I am in the podcast world, but it used to be, it's turned what used to be my research time into podcasting time.
Exactly.
And I tell myself that there, and I don't know if this is right or wrong, but I tell myself that this is okay because I'm sacrificing doing my own research, which I do think is important, to listening to other people more carefully. Because I'm listening to our guests much better than I'm listening to someone on Crow or whatever podcast of my choice is. You know, when I'm actually interacting, I'm 100% there. I'm not thinking about the chore that I'm working on or the work that I'm doing, whatever, you know?
Some of our most more recent shows, they've been okay, but I haven't been that happy with the outcome of them, just because, and it's on me for not preparing properly before the show, at least with questions and kind of a direction that it's going to go. So I got to improve on that. And I know that's like sort of me being hard on myself, but I just want to produce a podcast that I would want to listen to if I wasn't on it, you know.
That's
and
the key.
And so yeah, you know, I had a couple people. Deborah and I did a show with Tony Arterburn this last week. It was really good.
Yeah.
And I took an hour and a half. I listened to a bunch of his stuff before the show. And then I just wrote out like a page worth of notes on stuff that I wanted to talk to him about and, you know, before the show. And I think it went pretty well, you know, but still, yeah, just the participation of Deborah, because people don't want to, like, I'm sure people enjoy my personality that like my show. But people like my show because Deborah's on it and like she's hearing about things for the first time. And she thinks she doesn't want to sound dumb, maybe, or she a lot of times, like when I'm asking her about something, she's thinking like, what does he want me to say?
What does Adam think? So that I can repeat before he, not repeat, but pre-Pete, say before he says what he wants to hear.
Yeah, like that time I had that lady, Julie Mastrini, on, who was awesome, uh-huh. And talking about like third wave feminism and how it screwed everything up now. And I know Deborah was probably involved in the feminist movement, like, or at least on the peripheries of it, not like a hardcore activist or anything, but she, I mean, she was in college in the 70s or whatever. And I thought she would have like had a greater opinion or like, I had more questions about what happened. And so I'm going to work on it. I'm going to try to figure it out. And
What about if you, and if I'm there, me as well, what if we try to take a more passive role when she is here? Try to, I don't know. Cause then it's just putting it on her. Like, you know, I'm almost thinking what if we had a guest and her without us? You know, like maybe even we set it up and, you know,
and we just leave the room
and then we essentially we turn off our camera. We can just sit and watch. We're on mute and off in the corner.
Yeah.
If we really need to butt in, we can butt in, you know, but try and because that would like force her into the participation. Yeah. She wouldn't be going over a grocery list in the back of her head while we're going super hard at abortion, and she's just like, I'm over this. I'm going somewhere else in my mind.
Right. Yeah. Because I mean, everybody that listens to the show knows what our opinion on stuff's going to be. Like, we're offering a somewhat nuanced opinion and thoughts on things, but you know, everybody knows which direction we're headed in.
The basic idea of where we're at.
Yeah. But yeah, so we'll work on that and figure it out. And then, we should do more just solo shows, just you and I as well, because, you know, we don't need to be, we're weird enough. We can figure some weird stuff to talk about out, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, speaking of weird shit, you want to hear some weird shit?
Yeah.
Dude. I had an amazing experience. It would have been a week ago Thursday. It was the full moon.
Yeah.
Full moon. I knew it was the full moon all day, but you know, the full moon didn't come out till that night. And I track the sun pretty good. Like, I know when the sun's going up and coming up and going down. The moon, I have a much harder time with. Like, I have a calendar so I can be reminded, you know, it's a full moon this day, half moon, all that kind of stuff. But I have caught very, very few like moon rises. I've never seen a moon set as it goes down.
Yeah. Is that a thing that that like science says you should be able to see?
Yeah. I mean, like, my calendar tends to be pretty accurate. Like if I go to like my calendar, the calendar that I have that shows the moon phases gives a time, but it's not accurate for my specific location. I can go on to dateandtime.com, which I don't know how reliable that website is really, but I can look at my moon rise and moon set times. And I've just never been able to really catch that.
The thing preventing that was just not being awake or up at the right time to watch it.
Or I'd be like, oh, I'm going to do it today. It's a full moon. It's supposed to come up at 9 o'clock tonight. I'm going to go check it out. And then by the time I go to check it out, clouds have rolled in.
Right.
I keep getting moon blocked, moonrise blocked. But I wasn't even thinking about that this last Thursday or a week ago Thursday or so, when at about 9:30, my dog needed to go out. And I said, okay, cool, let's go. And I was like, oh, let's maybe go this direction. I bet the moon's up and out. Like, and it's a full moon. Let's go check it out. So we start going that way. And so I'm heading due east. So towards where the moon should be up. But because of where it's coming up and down right now, it's actually more like southeast. It's like, it's closer to the south than to that due east where I'm walking. And I've got woods on the side of me that are blocking me from the south, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm walking with my dog, all of a sudden an owl comes out of the woods, circles over my head, and goes back in. And then a second one comes out, and a third one. And three owls started circling over me and my dog's head as we're like making this walk. And I'm just going, this is freaking amazing. I didn't know with certainty that there were three owls in my woods. I knew there were at least two, but now I know there's at least three.
How far and above your head were they?
Pretty close, like 15, 20 feet up, something like that.
Above your head or off the ground?
Off the ground.
Yeah, so that's pretty low.
It's pretty low. And they're following us as they're making these circles, which is I've never had an owl, a single, let alone three owls, follow me and circle over my head. And as I'm getting farther down to where I'm starting to look up to see if I can see the moon, I see the sky is really orange out that way. And I'm like, oh, no way. Because what I've observed is when the moon is really low, it turns orange, whether it's rising or setting. The explanation to that, which I got, I was out shooting with some people when I was like 20. And we saw a moonrise. I don't know. I wasn't, you know, like really cued in on this kind of stuff at the time. It just would have been, oh, hey, look, the moon. But it was bright orange at that time. And someone who was smarter than me, in quotes, said, oh, that's because we're looking at it through our atmosphere. So we're seeing all the pollution and dust and all that stuff. And that's what turns it orange. And that kind of makes sense. I don't know about pollution per se, but like particles in the air, dust, we're looking through more atmosphere when it's at an angle than when it's right above our head. And we're just looking through a little atmosphere. If that makes sense. You know, we're looking further through the fishbowl than we are when we're looking straight out the fishbowl.
Yeah. It's like you're looking at it through like the hypotenuse of it instead of like the straight up.
Yeah. And it seems to be true with the sun too. I watch a lot of sunrises and they're really orange, but the sun is kind of white when it's like up above our heads. So anyway, the sky's turning orange, or the sky appears to be orange. I'm going, oh, no kidding. Is the moon just up? And as I come, it's just barely peeking over the mountains out that way. Just barely starting to rise. And I'm like, oh shit, here it is. I'm going to see a very close to full moon rise on a full moon. But I mean, full as in the entire thing. If I'd been there 2 minutes earlier, I would have not seen the moon and watched it rise. But it gets even crazier. So I got these owls circling over my head. I see that the moon is rising. I stop dead in my tracks to stare at this thing. And so does my dog. She stares at it, which I've never seen her notice anything in our environment that's not food.
Yeah.
That's not food or a rabbit, which might just be food or whatever. Like I've never seen her notice anything in the sky. She's never noticed an airplane, for instance, you know? Mm-hmm. But she notices this bright orange moon that's rising. And as we stop, all three of those owls perch themselves in branches that are right over our head. We're talking like 8 to 12 feet away from me. Super close. Like, owls don't do this. They tend to watch from a distance. And I'm like kind of torn. Like, do I look at these owls or do I look at this moon that's rising? And I look at the owls and I see they're all staring at me and my dog. I'm like, okay, you guys are cool, but I'm going to take this. It feels like a once in a lifetime opportunity to watch this moon rise. So I get into it. I kind of pray and meditate on this moon as it's coming up. And I break my attention to glance at the owls again, and they're not looking at me anymore. All three of them are transfixed on the moon, as my dog is. And I go right back to it. And for 5 minutes, we watched that moon rise up, and it looked amazing. It was a full moon, so it was perfectly circular. Like I said, it was orange. The face of it kind of looks the same as it always does, but oranger. But that outside edge of it, like the rim going around the outside, was so bright, Adam. It was so bright. It looked like it was on fire. It was like pulsating and shimmering. And it was just, I mean, I don't know. You couldn't possibly set this up to be any more like of a spiritual moment that I had with these three owls and my dog. And it was something fucking special.
Incredible.
You want a punchline to it though?
Yeah.
I walk back to the house. I'm really heady, you know, like I'm like, wow, you know, like what's the meaning of all of this? You know, like, wow, those owls, the owls stayed there too. They didn't even look at us leave. They kept watching that moon up in the sky, which I've never observed an owl looking at a moon either. And I'm just, my head's just kind of spinning. And I'm just like, this is amazing. This is special. This is something I need to remember for the rest of my life. I'm kind of like burning it into my memory. And I get up to the house. And my son is right there at the door, and I open the door, and what does he say? Like, I'm not even done opening the door. And he's like, hey dad, the toilet's clogged. Like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Back to regular life. Here yeah, we go.
Back to real life. That's cool, man.
And that was the beginning. That's a side note of that. That toilet being clogged was the beginning of the pipe problems that we had.
The problems with your plumbing.
Yeah, which wasn't too big a deal. I mean, it was. It was until it wasn't, and now I've learned a lot. So,
yeah, that's what's so cool about living in situations like we're in is when stuff goes bad, fix it. You know, that's how you learn.
Yeah.
So like,
which it turned out my septic tank was clogged. There's like a secondary filter that I wasn't aware of that goes out towards the drainage field, and that was clogged up. So it was really full, but it was all liquid. It wasn't like overflowing with crap, but it was making it so that all of our stuff was draining really slow, and it wasn't good. We needed to fix it. I had a guy come out and pump it. It's like, oh, you don't need this pumped. You know, all you got to do is clean this filter. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't know where that filter is. And it's like, oh, we're going to need to pump it to find the filter. And sure enough, this filter, I would have needed to just like reach down in there and like feel around and find something, be like, I hope this is it.
Yeah.
But it should be easy to clean. He recommended every 4 months. Once a year is probably sufficient. So,
yeah, I got to figure all that. That's the one thing I haven't got into just because it's gross. I didn't know anything about my well, and Emily was just like freaking out about water quality, so she's like, we should get somebody out here to check the well out. And the guy just came out and like inspected it and told us what we needed to do. I hadn't changed any like filters or anything like that since I moved in. He's like, yeah, you need to be changing these filters every 3 months, you know. So I knew that I had to do something out there. I was kind of intimidated, you know. So he came out and told us what to do, and was going to charge us. But he's like, if you want me to do this, add a UV filter and all this stuff like that, I can just like say this is the bid, like, or this is me coming out to do an estimate. And I won't charge you, you know? And so he never gave us an estimate and we didn't pay. So, you know.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. And now I know what's up. I know I got to, we have like a, we have the, so the water gets pumped out of the ground, goes into a 1500 gallon tank and comes out of the bottom of that tank, goes into a, like a pressure pump, goes through the pump, fills up a pressure tank, and then goes to the house. So I got,
that's a good setup, man.
Yeah. But, you know, our pump's bad and, I gotta, it's leaking and stuff. I tried to like do some stuff. I turned it off and replaced a bunch of the PVC stuff and it's still leaking. So I got to get a new one.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So, but it's cool. Cause you know, I got into it and figured out how to do it. And it's, I mean, it's not hard. It's not hard to put PVC. I mean, I used to plumb up hydraulic elevators so I can figure out like a well system, you know,
for sure. For sure. That's, our pump seized up on us within months of moving in here. It was kind of a shocker. I think I've mentioned it before because I'm actually thankful for it in the end, because I really learned our whole system like really well in the first few months because I had to, which ended up us having to replace the pump itself, which was expensive and all that. But the one that was in there was about 40 years old.
Yeah. So
it was going to happen sometime. So it might as well happen at the beginning. And, you know, we had neighbors with water, so it was easy to go. We just were filling 5 gallon buckets and bringing them back here for flushing toilets and
filling.
We had a bunch of 1 gallon, you know, water jugs that we were filling for drinking.
Yeah.
It was a rough couple of weeks, you know, but we got by.
Yeah, that's like me when I drained my water heater without turning the power off and roasted all the heating elements inside of it and like couldn't figure it out. We didn't have hot water for 5 days in like late April, you know. So, but I figured it out, you know.
So, have you ever had a septic tank before?
No.
This is your first septic tank. Yeah. Do you know where it is?
Yeah.
Can you see your lids?
Yeah, there's a big concrete lid right out in the grass over there.
Just one concrete lid?
Yeah, I think so. And then but there is some PVC pipe sticking up out of the ground, some big like 2.5 or 3 inch pipe or something like that. And that filter might be in there or something.
Okay,
like that.
So that's probably, is that closer to your house than the concrete?
It's right by it.
Is it between the concrete and your house?
I think so.
Probably. So that's a... you know, just this could save you big time. You should, is there a big cap on it?
Yeah.
Pull that off and shine a light in there. Everything's probably coming through from your house and into the septic tank just past that.
Yeah.
And that's there, I'm guessing, because that's a skinny point in your piping. And if you have a clog, there's a good chance like pulling that off and just grabbing a stick or something and loosening things up right there could like save your ass.
Yeah, that's probably a good thing to figure out. Yeah, and then I think there's like a really wet spot out in the pasture right by the fence, and I think that's probably where the leach field is.
That makes sense too.
Yeah, it's so, like it stayed wet there like way longer than anywhere else. So
if it's possible, if I could have last or 2 weeks ago, whatever that was, over again, I would have seen if there was like a way that I could have someone come do an estimate or I don't know what the, you know, an inspection of my septic tank, as opposed to we called them out to pump it because I was certain that it was just, oh, it's full.
Yeah.
It looked like solids to me. And we had gotten a notice like a year ago that we should get it pumped from whoever had pumped it previously. And we just ignored it. So I just figured that, but, if I'd been able to have someone who really knew septic tanks just come out and look at it, I could have done it all myself. But, unfortunately I called them out and we told them it was an emergency. So we got priority and then, they charged us emergency rates and it cost us a lot more than it should have.
Yeah.
But it was a learning experience. I just paid a lot for that. So
yeah. Yeah. That's all right. Yeah. We just spent the last of our money. We're totally broke. We just put in AC and heat.
Oh,
so that drained us all the way out.
That sucks being broke, but is it pretty nice to have some AC?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I bet.
It's like constantly 70 degrees in here. I've had to like turn the AC up from like 70 to 74 because it's like too cold in here sometimes.
It's a little too cold.
So, yeah.
That's nice.
So yeah, it's good and it's only going to get better as I keep putting insulation into the house. And
for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm, you know, it sucks not having like a little emergency nest egg, but having cash right now in a savings account is, in my opinion, not smart. You know, turn your money into tangible stuff right now is what I would do, because that savings account is just losing value every single day. So
it's gonna be garbage before we know it.
Yeah, but yeah, so it's kind of nice because I don't have any money to buy any supplies to do any big projects, so I'm kind of like off the hook there.
Oh, sorry, I can't do.
But there's you know how it goes. You've seen my place. There's plenty of stuff that I can clean up, plenty of like scrap wood that I can make things out of and do all that. So yeah, just trying to stay busy out here and do all that stuff. But
I'm gonna guess that your place probably looks pretty nice right now.
Yeah,
because you had guests out there this week, am I right?
Yeah, you guys had some guests, and then the same guests came down to our place yesterday. So
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Monica Perez rolled in here at like noon or something like that a couple days ago. It was, what a trip, man. You know, you listen to someone's voice so much, you know, which I've listened to her for years. Like I don't listen very often anymore. Almost never, to be blunt.
Yeah, but I don't really, it's not really in my rotation anymore. It still gets downloaded, but I don't listen that much.
But she's been an inspiration to me. She's done so much great stuff for Lanny and I. And to have her just like get out of a car and be like, oh, hey, you know, it's just like we're old friends, because we kind of are. We've talked on Zoom. We've emailed and direct messaged, you know, for years. So that was pretty cool. And she brought her son, which was awesome. What a cool kid.
Mm-hmm.
But then she went down to your place the next day.
Yeah, yesterday.
And did you have other, was like Nate there?
Yeah, Nate from Reality Czars. He came up because he lives in Scappoose, which is just two towns down from me towards Portland. So
yeah. And
he had like a pig head, I guess, just sitting in his freezer. And he's a chef, so he turned a pig head into like some delicious, authentic, like flavored taco meat. You know, I haven't had good Mexican food since I moved to Oregon. So right. I used to eat it, you know, it's you take it for granted when you live in California.
I'm sure.
And then you come up to the Pacific Northwest and there's Mexicans here, but apparently not the kind that make good Mexican food. So mm-hmm. And it was awesome. We had we cooked heated it up here and had all the stuff and just made like street tacos and hung out. I showed him the property and all the animals and my new pigs and all sorts of stuff. It was cool.
It was, so is it like kind of a tour and hanging out time, or did you guys didn't do any like work together or anything?
No,
Ben really wanted to work while he was here.
Yeah.
Which was interesting. I didn't expect that, but I didn't have that much for him, but you know, like we moved some chickens around and stuff and it was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. There's not much, urgent stuff at my house right now. I got to change that well pump. And that's it. But yeah, I don't really know how I feel about putting people to work at my place yet.
I know. I have the hardest time with it. I have a handful of like local friends who every time I see them are like, hey, you know, call me when you need a hand doing something. But these, you know, 3+ years, it's all been a really great challenge that I do everything by myself. I mean, I got my 8-year-old and he helps, you know, don't get me wrong, but he helps like an 8-year-old can help.
Yeah.
And it's been it's been important, especially with him, that he sees that I tackle these things that I don't know how to do. Sometimes it's slower. Sometimes, yeah, sure, I could use a hand, but it's like, I don't know. When people do come, I'm always like, oh, sweet, here's an excuse not to do stuff and like hang out and have a fire and chill.
Yeah.
Like, I got friends over. I don't want to work. You know, I don't want to have my friends into my day job to like just hang out and, you know, work.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It just seems weird. And I don't know. I just have a hard time asking people for help too.
Yeah. I'm a little weird too. It's like, I want to do stuff like my way all the time too. And I don't know. Yeah. I think I could, I can kind of delegate because I had to when I was at my old job, you know, I had an apprentice and stuff like that. So I can delegate. It was hard to kind of figure out how to do it at first, but then like you realize like, oh, okay, people are expecting this from you. And if people are asking to come, you know, work at your house, I mean, I'd take them up on it. But yeah. They came through, we just ate and talked, and yeah, it was fun. It was a fun time. So,
well, I don't know about you, but for me, it was felt afterwards, like the next day, it felt like it had been a whirlwind in a similar way to like when we came and visited you.
Yeah.
Of that afterwards, you know, I was just like walking somewhere yesterday where I had walked with Monica and her son, and I was like, oh, you know, we walked right past like all my composting, and I didn't, you know, tell them about the composting and you know, my system, which I think they would have found really interesting. There were a lot of things that we were like right there. I'm sure they would have found it interesting. It would have been a great conversation, but I just don't even think about it because it's just the stuff that's here. It's
yeah.
The stuff I do every day and like don't really think about. And then I was like, man, it's just like at your place. I feel like I, with anyone, not just her, but with anyone, if they come here, it's like it should be a couple days at least to even get the feel for what it's like.
Yeah.
You can't get a feel of what life is like here in 6 hours.
Right.
You just can't. Especially if I'm going, oh, cool, people are here. I'm going to take a shower and change into street clothes and hang out. You know, you're not going to get any clue, which I think they were looking for. What is our day-to-day life like? And I don't know if I provided that for them very well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's yeah, I wish people would. She seemed very like grateful that I let her come to my house, and that like I offered her drinks like I did to you guys, and I offered everybody like just go in the fridge, get whatever you want out of there. There's kombucha and ginger beer. And she was like, oh, I don't want to, I know this is a lot of hard work to make it. I don't want to, you know, which is polite and nice, but it's just like, hey guys, you know, if I didn't want you at my house, I wouldn't have asked you to come over. Like that's, and I think that's an issue of like society at large, is people just be polite because you're supposed to, but like, if I don't want you at my house, I don't ask you to come.
If I don't want you at my house, you're not going to be at my house.
Yeah. So yeah. Unless you're one of Emily's friends, and I don't really have any say over that. So
I guess there's exceptions to what I just said,
but yeah. So, but yeah, like they went and they stayed in a hotel in St. Helens, which is like the next town over, which is, you know, it's not an, I mean, it's a good, nice enough town. It's just a nice little, it's a little town, you know, but there's not any nice hotels. And I have like a spare bedroom and that fifth wheel that's like super nice with a brand new mattress in it, you know, and I like, people can spend the night here, you know, you don't have to go stay in a hotel. And so, yeah, I wish they could have stayed a little more. I think experiencing, especially if you're from LA and you like experience a night out here and then a morning, like 6 a.m. in the morning, like standing outside by yourself here, it's normal to me now, but I a lot of times I'll go out, if I wake up early and start taking care of the chickens and stuff, and I've got headphones in, and I'm like, what, why? And I take it out and just like try to concentrate on what's around me and like how quiet it is. And it's pretty amazing, you know?
Yeah. That's, that your place, I'm certain, is even better like that than mine. You know, I've got a freeway within earshot, especially it's, you know, 6 a.m. There's not a lot going on. So when a semi goes down the freeway, even though it's, you know, 2 miles from here or so, 2.5, I hear that. You know, I can hear trains in the distance. You know, I hear stuff. I think that you're probably even more quiet like that. Yeah. And your sky's got to be better too, because you don't have Vancouver and Bellingham surrounding you.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we're kind of up high. We're up at elevation and, you know, trees around. And, but yeah, it gets, it's crazy because it's sometimes it's like it's really dark here in the wintertime, and during the summertime, it's like we don't have blinds on any of our windows because there's nobody out here. But sometimes at night, it's bright out there. So
you mentioned kind of a subject change, but you mentioned that she was in St. Helen. You're a couple years older than me.
Yeah.
Do you remember Mount St. Helens blasting?
No, I was 1 year old when it happened.
So there's like a just like, before I was born.
Yeah, I have a photo album, and it's like, it's me and my sister. I'm like pretty new baby, and my dad's old business partner, Clark Goodman. He's like holding me, and my sister sitting next to him, and it's like says the date 1980, the day before Mount St. Helens explodes, like in my mom's handwriting, you know. And we lived in Northwest Portland, like up on a big hill.
Yeah.
Well, no, we didn't live there at the time. But later, like when I was 5, we moved in this nice, really nice old house in Northwest Portland that had these big bay windows. And it looked right out at Mount St. Helens. So.
Oh, okay. So you could see where that. Could you see? Well, because you're on the southern side. Could you see the blast crater? Or did it look kind of normal?
It just looks flat.
Yeah.
From Oregon, it just looks flat. From I-5, it just looks flat. There's no, like, I don't know if on the backside, there's like a scoop out of the side or anything like that.
Right.
But yeah, my family owned, my mom's side of the family, we owned a really rundown old cabin at Mount Rainier. That's where I learned how to ski and stuff when I was little.
Sure.
In this little town called Packwood. And it's like right by there. And so we used to go there, my mom and my sister and I would go there for like the whole summer. And then my dad would come up on the weekends. And there was like a thick layer of ash, like the whole forest floor, you know. It was like it was kind of a trailer with an addition built onto it, you know, and then like a roof built over it. And then there's a bunch of those and like just trees and everything in between them, and you can just kind of like walk in between everybody's property. And yeah, it was a thick layer of ash everywhere. I got jars of it somewhere probably. I don't know, maybe my parents got rid of it. But
well, you know, when we came down to see you, we drove past Mount St. Helens, and you know, I'd seen it before, but not how would I put it, not with the open mind. With my mind as open as it is today, where like I question everything, and I just mean everything. So I've to certain degrees, I've questioned whether or not volcanoes are real. I've questioned whether, you know, like any narrative that we've ever heard is the way it's said to have been. And it was really awe-taking to see that, I mean, it looks like a volcano. It looks like a volcano that's blasted. And, but, you know, it hasn't for 41 years, 42 years. And it's just, you know, really got me thinking. I briefly mentioned it while we were at your place. It was just kind of in the back of my head the whole time. And when we got home, I ended up watching two kind of like documentary programs on Mount St. Helens.
They talk about that old guy that they told to leave and was just like, nope.
Of course. They really drive that guy in. They drove that guy in before it happened. And I think that was very, very much on purpose to like show people, hey, you got to listen to us. When we tell you to move, you better move. You know, yeah. When we tell you to evacuate, you better get out of there.
Yeah. I've never even thought about it through the lens that I should, you know, and,
So watching this, the first one I watched was new, like 2020 or 2021. And it was from National Geographic on the Disney Channel. So you know, you're getting a heavy dose of propaganda one way or another, whatever you're listening to from those people. And, you know, there's nothing big here. I'm not like going to like tell you that I think something was different than what everybody believes, but it was really notable how much they talked about how they didn't know anything about how volcanoes worked before Mount St. Helens. Like they just didn't know, because we'd never really observed a volcano like this before. And it's just kind of, don't these things go off all the time, all over the world? You know, aren't people who aren't volcanists, is that what they're called? Volcanologists, I think is what they're called. Don't they, you know, travel the globe and watch volcanoes erupt all the time and like know all this stuff? But they were really excited. All these people were really excited that Mount St. Helens was doing what it was doing, because they could finally learn how they know these are all volcanoes. All the mountains we see are volcanoes. We just never get to see what they do. And when it blasted, it blew everyone's mind, because it came out the side of it. It didn't come out the top like they just always assumed, because they'd looked at the ones in Hawaii, which are always coming up out of the top and creating more, like supposedly that's how those islands exist, is because they're underwater volcanoes that have just been erupting slowly and like building this landmass above them. But nobody expected it to go out the side. And the side that it went, you know, it just occurred to me kind of after watching it, that it's like, you know, it went out the side. No one expected that. Straight towards Harp.
Which is in Alaska, right?
Yeah. You know, like that side that it blasted from.
So towards it blew Harp. Out of the northwest side of it.
Yeah. Which is just like, I don't know. It's just an observation. I don't know that Harp works like that. I don't know that it doesn't work like that. But it's, you know, like I think a lot about Harp and weather manipulation and, you know,
did questioning Harp everything. Exist on paper at that time?
I don't know. I haven't like done the research. Like I said, I don't research anymore. I'm a podcaster. I'm above that shit. I haven't had time to like really, really look into this, but I don't know. It really got my head in, you know, going in this, like, I don't know. I'm not saying that it wasn't a volcano. I'm not saying that things didn't happen exactly as we're told, but I do think there's some narrative there that was pushed on people on some level. If nothing else, the fact that there was no lava is interesting too.
Yeah.
You know, it was all mud. Yeah. Boy, the number of times they talked about mud and ash just flowing from this thing.
Yeah, that ash is crazy. Like if you, like I had jars of it, you know, and you could just put like water into it and it like instantly solidified into concrete.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I remember when I was little, like you would go on field trips out there. I don't think I ever went on a field trip out there, but it was just miles and miles and miles of leveled trees, and somehow they had a road through it and you'd go look at the destruction of it. When I moved back here in 2018, I was like, oh, maybe I should go back to Mount St. Helens and check it out. And then I saw like pictures of it. And it's all cleaned up now. Like it's like a national forest again. They cleaned out all the down trees and everything.
Right. Right. It's, my questions are at this point, like, where does the ash come from? Like, what is the ash? Like, is it ash from all the trees that burned? Because not a lot of trees burned. They were leveled. You know, it looked a lot to me like some of the pictures you see of supposed nuclear blasts and major bombs and stuff like that. Like, they're just all leveled, all in the same direction for miles, it seems.
Like Tunguska.
Uh-huh. And then this mud and ash just flowed through all of that. It was something like 168 people, I think they said, were rescued from that after that stayed there, that all survived, you know, but it's like, how does anyone survive? You know, like if the forest around you is leveled, like you can't hide behind a tree at that point, you know, you can't hide behind something. And then it was like everyone who was rescued was like, oh, we're so grateful that we were able to stay alive and keep moving. Because if we hadn't been able to keep moving, we wouldn't have left tracks in the ash, which allowed choppers to see their tracks and then follow tracks and find everybody. And I think they say very few people died. I can't remember a number, but I don't know the whole thing. I think it's worth reinvestigating. I mean, just look at it again and, you know, think about it from a really, really open-minded perspective.
Yeah, I'll definitely look into it. I love looking into stuff that's local to me, you know, so.
Yeah, it might be something that you look into and then you're like, shit, I got to drive over there, you know, when you got a spare day and just look at it for yourself and, I don't know, just think about it.
Yeah, I wanted to go find the cabin from the Ape Canyon incident happened. Are you familiar with that?
What was that? It sounds familiar, but
that's like 1923 or something like that. These guys are out panning for gold and by Mount St. Helens, and they get attacked by like these Bigfoots.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like I think they were calling them like wood devils or something like that. They were like they were in this cabin and they endured a full night, like a 12-hour siege on their cabin where they were like sticking their hands through like the logs in the wood cabin. They could see like their ape fingers coming through and they're throwing boulders at it and stuff. So
yeah, that sounds rad.
Yeah.
Like a rad thing to not rad thing to have happen, but a rad thing to investigate.
Yeah. I think when we talked to Bo Kennedy from the Bump podcast, he'd had some guys on that. I don't think the cabin's there anymore and nobody really knows where it was, but it's like an 11-mile hike in to like go find where it was. So
That sounds like a good project, side project.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll have any time to do that. I don't really like hiking very much. So
I'm thinking about going hiking.
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah, I got Mount Baker sits in my backyard. And when I say sits in my backyard, I think as the crow flies, it's like 30, 35 miles straight that way. And Mount Baker is like 10,000, less than 11,000 feet, but somewhere in there.
So it's going north up to Canada, 35 miles? No, it's
due east.
Okay.
Due east. 35 miles the other way would be in Canada. It's part of, I believe, I should look this up. I've said it for years and I haven't verified it, but I think that Mount Baker is part of what's called the Fraser Valley, which typically is referenced as part of Canada. But I think that whole mountain range comes and ends literally on the other side of Bellingham. Like Bellingham would be just barely inside of the Fraser Valley.
So it's not, is it part of the Cascade Range?
Yes.
Okay. But is it, it's not called the Cascades once it gets to Canada?
I think there it's called the Canadian Rockies, or is that,
no, that's eastern, farther east.
Is that farther east? Might be the, that's Canadian, like
going
Cascades
up through Wyoming, Montana, okay. Banff, Glacier National Park.
It might still be called the Cascades up there.
Okay.
I should kind of research, you know, briefly at least the Fraser Valley and what the mountains are called up
so
there.
So the Cascades run through Oregon, Washington, maybe a little of California.
Maybe a little. And then maybe Mount Shasta is part of that.
Yeah. So once you get to the west side, which is like kind of where all the heavily civilized areas are in Oregon and Washington, that's west of the Cascades. And that's considered kind of like a wet, temperate, mild, wet climate. And then on the east side of the Cascades, it's like, it's high desert.
Desert.
So,
yeah. Well, I'm just thinking it's the end of August right now. And it's weather's going to turn quicker than I want it to. I'll be happy when it does. But there's a million things I want to do, including I kind of want to go up to Mount Baker. spend a little time up there. I meditate on that mountain. I pray in front of that mountain. I use that mountain for perspective on things all the time, like the height of clouds and, you know, where my sunrises are behind Mount Baker. So, you know, I use that as my approximately due east point. And then anything further north that would be the longer days, and anything south of there is the shorter days of the year based on the equinox or whatever. So I just think it would be kind of cool. I haven't been up there for a few years. It's been since before we moved out here. Now that it's in our backyard, I'm like, oh, I don't need to go there anymore. But I used to take my son there. I think I should take him up there again. Just get really close to it. And, you know, spend a little time there.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
It's also so hard to pull myself away from here. You know, just call it a day. Like, yeah, I'm doing it. I'm going. It's a long drive. It's 35 miles as the crow flies. But to actually drive there, I'm not even sure how many miles it is. It's a lot because you kind of drive into the other. We just sort of drive around to the eastern face of it instead of the western face that I see.
Have you ever summited Mount Baker? No. Yeah, 10,000 feet's no joke.
No, it's not. People do it. People do it all the time.
Can you do it in one day?
I think so.
It'd be a tough hike, though.
You'd need to be seasoned. I mean, you'd need to be seasoned no matter how you do it. It's not someone. I'd be like, I've hiked a lot. I've been up some pretty high spots and whatnot, but not in a long time. It's something you'd want to plan to do it at the end of the year and work at that all year, you know, every weekend going up someplace, getting in shape and
dealing with that elevation change and all that stuff. Yeah,
just being in that element a lot before you go up and try and, you know, cause it's glaciers up there. It's ice pack.
So it's all year round.
Yeah. Although right now there's a lot of black on there. I'm playing the game where I'm going, well, is my memory good or not when it comes to some of that? Because I swear there's less snow on it now than there was when I was younger. But then I sometimes see photos and I'm like, oh, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was always like this. Maybe this is the normal cycle. But then I read articles as well where people are telling people around here that they're all should be hanging their heads in shame because our global warming is causing the glaciers of Mount Baker to melt and that we're all going to be in a drought because of our pickups. So,
yeah,
you know,
so our tractors,
who do we believe?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of, you know, I just said, I don't like hiking. I don't dislike hiking. I used to be a wildland firefighter and hiking is what I did for 6 months a year. And it's like hardcore hiking with a really heavy pack. A lot of the time I was doing it packing a chainsaw also.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I kind of say I don't like hiking, but if I was going up to summit Mount Baker or go check out St. Helens. I'm sure there's tons of hiking over there. And Emily's always asking me to go hiking. So
I think it's good. I mean, like, I think it's in one sense, I want to say, oh, hiking's a waste of time. You're just going on a walk. but at the same time, I think understanding the beauty of the creation that we live in is really good. And I think that it's good for us to put that in perspective by going and getting up close to it.
Yeah.
In this particular case for me, it's someplace that I look at all the time. I think next time I look, if I go up there, which I'm not summiting it or anything, we're just going to drive up to like the ski area. And then there's a bunch of hiking from there. And we'll just like drive for a few hours. It'll probably be like a 2 hour drive and then walk around. We won't hike. We're just going to walk around for, you know, 2 or 3 hours and then drive back home. You know, find some beautiful spots, take a lunch and, you know, eat lunch at some point. And then when I come back here and I look at, maybe I catch the sunrise the next morning, I'm going to see that a little bit different than I did the day before, because I was just up there. Like I saw, like I see lines in the snow in the mountain, right? And if I see that up closer, I might better visualize, oh, wow, that's like a little shelf, not just a rock sticking up. That's like a shelf of ice, or, you know, I don't know, just different. Just yeah. Get a good different perspective on it.
Yeah. That'd be cool if when you guys come down to go to Long Beach again.
Yeah.
If maybe we could cruise over to Mount St. Helens too.
Let's look at that. Let's try and plan something soon.
Yeah. Yeah, we could spend the day in Astoria and then the next day do Mount St. Helens or something like that.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. Well, yeah. Let's plan that out.
Yeah. It's my birthday today. I'm 43.
Woo!
And I saw a meme that said Anthony Fauci has resigned.
I heard.
Couldn't imagine a better birthday present.
December. I
mean, what's that?
He said he'll do it in December.
Okay.
That's what Lanny told me. That's all I know.
Yeah.
But that's a good birthday present, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah, it's weird. 43 is seems pretty old. It's crazy because I can my parents had me when they were older. You know, my dad was 36 when I was born, but I can remember like being at my dad's 43rd birthday. He seemed old, you know. So
yeah, I did that. I was thinking just like that last year as I turned 40, and I remember really well my dad's 40th birthday because. That was, I don't know if it's still a thing. I mean, it wasn't for me, but for him, it was, you know, this was in the,
so all the
early 90s. It was over the hill.
Over the hill, yeah. Getting a mug.
He got so much freaking swag with like Grim Reapers that said over the hill. He had a hemorrhoid donut pillow
yeah.
that said over the hill with a Grim Reaper like reaching for him. And
yeah,
I don't know. It was like a big deal at that time to, oh, turning 40 sucks or something.
Yeah.
Which I'll disagree with. I think turning 40 is it's been one of the greatest ages I've ever had. So
yeah. Yeah. It's wild, man. It seems like I was just 18 and going off to college, you know.
Right.
I'm 43, so it's wild, you know.
Well, and, happy birthday, Adam.
Thanks, man. Monica Perez gave me two presents. She gave me a copy of Tom O'Neill's book, Chaos, which yeah. I already own and have already read, but it was a very nice gesture. So if you need a copy
I don't,
of it.
I don't own it.
Okay, so you can have mine when you come. I'll re-gift it to you.
There we go.
Great book. I didn't read it. I listened to it. It's like 16 hours on Audible. It's a tough read, you know, or it's yeah. a long, it's the guy took like 25 years to write it. If anybody doesn't know, it's about the Manson family.
Yeah.
And, the CIA involvement in, you know, that whole deal. And it's irrefutable that wasn't a, organic incident, you know, that didn't.
That's what I've come to from listen. I haven't listened to the book or read it, obviously, if I don't have it. But I've listened to some podcasts with people who have read it, and they're kind of presenting what they know from it. And it seems that it's the one.
Yeah, I should go back and listen. I was listening to it when I was still working, and so I missed. It's so densely. Full of information, so I missed a lot, like, you know, I should check it out again. I still have it on once you buy stuff on Audible, it's there. So
did what's his name Mudflood memes on Instagram when he was on our show? We talked about Manson a bit, like his dad knew Manson.
His dad was in prison, in the same prison with Charles Manson or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. He seems like someone who would have definitely read that book, but I don't remember it coming up
at that yeah, time. I've heard of, or I've heard a few critiques of it as well, but William Ramsey has a lot of information about that stuff on his show. So it's really interesting to me. The serial killers of the 70s and 80s and how that kind of disappeared and turned into kind of school shooters.
Yeah, that is very worth noting.
Yeah.
Very, very worth noting.
The one that's of most interest to me is John Wayne Gacy. And like I said, I push this one all the time, even though it's like an ID Network show. It's
Candyman and the Clown.
Clown and the Candyman. Yeah, I might go listen to that again. 8-part series, full of info that, you know, it's provable that he wasn't at his house when young boys were being murdered there.
And it talks about his involvement with the Moosehead Lodge
The Moose Lodge, yeah.
Moose Lodge guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't until after having my eyes open towards that, I drove by. It's a spot I don't drive to very often, but it is, it's like less than 2 miles from my house. There's like a little industrial complex with like just like 3 or 4 businesses in it, and as well as a Moose Lodge.
Yeah. And
it's like, oh shit, that's like right here. It's right there. I don't even want to know.
Yeah, there's in St. Helens, like the north end of St. Helens, there's a Shriner's Lodge. And you have to be like a high level Mason to be, they're like another sect of the Masons, and you have to like graduate from some level of Masonry. I don't know if you have to be what degree, but you have to be, I think, invited to the Shriners from the Masons.
So I got a real short Shriner story. Of this was from before my eyes were open to pretty much anything. It was post 9/11, so my eyes were open there, but I certainly wasn't talking about Masons. If you asked me about Masons, I would have gone, yeah, what's that all about? Like, I don't know. Shriners, same thing. I knew Shriners as guys who drove little cars in the parade. Yeah, yeah. Put their fez on and drive around and do loops down the parade.
Circles
route.
They had the Shriners Children's Hospital.
Right, right. So it was this would have been like around like 2000 or something. And I went out into the North Cascades. I was out there for like 10 days straight with two brothers who were friends of mine. And, you know, we got to know each other real well during those days. And so we didn't have any electronics, no music, no nothing. It was just our voices. And it came up that they were really upset that their grandpa had passed away, and their grandma married this other guy who nobody really knew. She did it fairly quickly, and she got married, and like he never partook in anything. They like never got to know this guy very well, but it sounded like she was pretty wealthy. It sounded like the grandfather was pretty wealthy, and she thereby was very wealthy as well. And then she passed away not long after marrying this guy. And they were really pissed because everything she owned went to the Shriners.
Oh man.
Because this guy was a Shriner and he didn't want any of her stuff, but it was all in his name because they'd been married for, you know, like a year or something like that when she passed away. And all of her money, her home, I guess they had a historical home in Bellingham, like one of the older, you know, 100-plus-year-old houses.
Yeah, like on the registry and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And that became a Shriner place. And like, I guess their whole family was really, really pissed because they didn't approve of the marriage. Like, not like they said, don't do it. They just didn't hear about it. It was like she was sad and mourning her husband's loss. And while they were kind of letting her do, maybe she went traveling or did something, and she just kind of announced to him, hey, I got married. I'm happy again. And then she dies shortly after that, and everything went to the Shriners. And they were like, they had this like, fuck the Shriners. We hate the Shriners. Masons never came up, you know, like it was just like, oh, weird. I don't know. I just figured like, oh, he was really into his secret society club and that those are all innocent. You know, I would have thought those things were innocent at the time. Like that they get around and drink beers and shoot darts or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I think of that often as I get farther down rabbit holes and I think about Shriners and Masons and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I think the Occult Rejects have probably done like a 3-part series on just the Shriners. They did a bunch on the Moose Lodge. And that's when I found out about, you know, John Wayne Gacy's attachment to that and stuff. So we should have one of those guys back on in a while. I haven't talked to them in a long time.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah. So we'll start wrapping up here in a minute, but Ryan from Dangerous World wanted to have us on. So we were gonna go. I asked, he said, figure out a topic. We'll have the three of you guys back on. So I said, Deborah, what do you want to talk about? She couldn't figure it out.
Roanoke.
She talked about Roanoke. I did a bunch of research as well as she did. Not a bunch, but enough. And I did, and there's nothing there.
Yeah.
They just absorbed into the Indian tribe.
I found it to be kind of boring. I
Yeah.
looked into it too.
Yeah. And yeah, and it's just like a legend that's propagated
There
by
was
the town.
the dare stones, is that what they were called? That were sprinkled throughout that I don't know. There was some indication they could have been in some other places. Anyway, yeah, go
Yeah.
on.
But so I told Ryan, I was like, yeah, we're not gonna do this. There's no conspiracy there, you know? And
Cool. I was trying my best. I was trying real hard to like
yeah.
find it, but it just didn't pull me in.
But we should so I felt bad about canceling. I mean, he wasn't upset or anything. He's like, yeah, I've been having a hard time researching too. And so we should figure something else out. But I kept trying to ask Deborah and she just like won't. It's like a parent asking their kid how school was at the dinner table. It's just like she won't give me anything, you know? Like you gotta be interested in something. And she'll say, like, how about child psychology? I'm like, you gotta narrow it down and have something that's like conspiratorial, you know?
Yeah.
There's something in there, but you just gotta like narrow it down, you know? But what if we did I can get a hold of him. What if we did the Picton pig farm?
Oh, yeah, I'd be way in on that.
Okay. She likes serial killers and true crime and stuff, so I mean,
Oh yeah, and it's not the easiest one to research
yeah.
because no one cares about it, it seems like, but there's stuff out there. I mean,
And
like,
then we could also like get into like all I you know what there is a ton of on YouTube right now is little documentaries about like that Indian Trail of Tears, that like modern Trail of Tears or
oh
whatever they call
yeah,
it, you know, like all
with
the
the reform
women.
schools or whatever those are
No,
called.
like all the women, like all the native women, like disappearing off East Hastings and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not reform schools, the government schools that they put all the Indians in that have possible mass graves in the backyards of
Yeah,
them.
but then what I'm talking about is just like
Oh, the
all
more modern.
the yeah, just all the native like women who go to Vancouver, become prostitutes, and then
Yeah.
like
Well,
never are seen again.
I mean, hopefully, if you guys see what I've seen, the Picton pig farm. Like a lot of those women that are thought to have gone there were native, like
Yeah,
the vast
that's what
majority.
I'm saying. We can relate it all to that.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
If yeah, because I have looked that up. There's a ton of stuff on YouTube about those women disappearing.
Cool.
So yeah. So let's I'll get a hold of Ryan. We'll tell him we'll do that. And yeah. Have you heard any podcasts or anything about it? I'm sure I could look it up and see if there is any. I'm sure there is. I'm sure that I mean there's tons of true crime
I
stuff. It's
can't
like
remember. I can't remember if I have. I've read more than I've listened. I've tried. There's a couple documentary kind of things, but they're milquetoast. They're, in my opinion, they're put out by the Canadian government to make
yeah.
it seem like it was no big deal.
Oh yeah, because yeah, and then we got to look into like the Trudeaux and stuff and like
Oh, Trudeau's not too
Canadian
far from
premiers
this.
being there, you know.
Trudeau's not too far from this. Like he'll probably come up.
Yeah.
So,
Cool. Yeah, and then we should also look into the Sausage King of San Leandro.
yeah, you've mentioned that before.
That's a good story. So, but yeah, we should do this more often. It's fun.
Yeah, we should try and maybe make it like a monthly thing or something. I don't know if we want to adhere to some schedule, but
Yeah.
just a regular deal. This is good. I enjoy it. It's good catching
Cool.
up with you and talking to just you instead of doing an intro and then being done with that, and then we're off to something else.
Yeah, and if you want to do it at like 6:30 in the morning, we can do that too.
Yeah, especially as it's getting cooler, it's going to start being cooler. Like right now, I suggested the time I did because at first I was thinking that, and then I was like, but I kind of there's some stuff I like getting done at that hour
Yeah.
before the sun hits everything. such as picking up rotten apples that have hornets on them. It's much easier before the sun hits them.
Oh man, I got the Tempo bug spray like 2 days after you left. I got it in the mail. Yeah. And you know that little nest that was in the shop, like
by the doorway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
20 minutes. Boom. Haven't returned.
That's hey, maybe we should put a call out if anybody's listening and they know of Tempo and they think that people shouldn't use it. Like, I'm sure it's poison that shouldn't be out there. It's
so bad.
But I totally endorse it.
Like, yeah.
Naively, I endorse it. Like I don't want to know that I'm really, really fucking shit. I don't use a lot. But when I do, it's the only thing.
Yeah. I think it's made by Bayer, which is Monsanto.
Oh yeah.
And it's weird that it's available on Amazon because it says right on the package, only for professional like exterminators.
Yeah, it's and funny. I went to send another, you a link.
That's
when you told me that you'd already gotten it.
Yeah. There's another one that's like by Bayer, looks almost exactly the same, but I think it's for civilian use.
Oh, okay.
It's all the same stuff with less percentages. Yeah.
0.5% instead of 1% or 2%, whatever it is.
So, yeah. Huh. But other than that, oh, you know, Monica, she's like, there'll be a package arriving in the mail for you tonight too. And it came, and dude, she bought for my birthday. She gave me that book. And then there's like this, one of those super awesome water crocs. You know, those water crocs that have the, I think Lanny has one.
Oh, with the water in the rim.
The water around the rim that seals it. She got me one of those. And
she's such a sweetie.
Yeah. So.
Thanks to her.
Yeah. But it's good times. I'm gonna go out and buck hay for my birthday. So let's do this. Let's do this again soon. We got to get some stuff on the schedule too. So if you got anything you want to hear about, some people have emailed me and gave me some suggestions. So we'll get some stuff on the books, and I'll figure it out.
And we're also, it's notable to both of us that we're coming up on the end of the season. Like, I don't know about you, but my schedule is going to be way more open in a month or two from now.
Yeah.
In a month from now, it'll feel totally different than it does. I'm kind of mulling over the idea. I'm thinking about starting another podcast, a solo deal that wouldn't have anything to do with conspiracy or anything, just about music.
Oh, wow.
I've been hearing that when you use Anchor, you have access to Spotify. So I kind of want to maybe try and fulfill my dream of being a radio DJ, and do some music showcasing kind of a thing. Not like a radio DJ though. It would be more like do a showcase of a band each episode or something. Stuff that nobody's ever, not nobody, but most of our listeners have never heard and they might be interested in, and, you know, just kind of take deep dives on different bands.
Yeah. And you could get people on too that know a lot about a certain band as well.
Exactly.
Normal people.
But we'll see. That's just an idea. I've got a little notebook. I've been taking notes for what I would want to do, but I haven't even looked into Anchor yet. So we'll see what pans out as the weeks slow down.
Yeah. I know a lot of people, Ryan uses it. Matt from Great Deception uses it. And
it's them that inspired me really. Well, Matt, I think it is, like when he talks about it, he does a little advertisement for it. He says, so you can do anything you want, even music analysis or this or that. I'm always like, music analysis. Yeah.
So you're allowed to play Spotify music on the podcast. If you use Anchor. Oh, that's cool.
That's what I hear.
Yeah. I've also, I've heard No Agenda has said some negative things about Anchor. So, but you know,
it's got to navigate your own road, figure that shit out.
Necessary evils and stuff we gotta put up with to do all this. You know, we're using Zoom right now, so Chinese are watching us.
If I'm using Anchor, it would only be to get that no-brainer Spotify catalog, that I don't. If I do something on whatever other one, I'm afraid I'll put all this time and effort into it, and then they'll strike it down for copyright violation or something.
Yeah,
I don't want to do that.
Yeah, that's I haven't, guys. So this goes out to everybody. I'm not I'm not presently uploading stuff on YouTube anymore. I was getting like 200 views a video, and it's just not worth the time that it takes me to do it. If anybody really wants me to do it, let me know. But it wasn't fruitful for us at all. We weren't gaining. We're super heavily shadow banned. They're throttling, you know, subscriptions. Like I've been, you know, I was at 750. I got to 750 subs in like my first 20 episodes. And then I didn't get to 1,000. Old Scary World episode 100 is where I got over 1,000 because he has a big YouTube presence. So it took me, you know, 80 episodes to get another 250 listeners. I'm at 1,083 now since something like that. And, And I used to get, you know, like 1,000 views per episode. And now I'm getting like anywhere from like 100 to 250. So I'm not going to do it. I might upload to Odyssey still, but the good thing about uploading to YouTube is then Odyssey just takes it off YouTube, but I can just upload to Odyssey from now on.
To repeat what has been said on every, I guess you could say every conspiracy podcast that exists, like YouTube is just a ticking time bomb before we're all going to be censored and taken off there anyway. So let's just be proactive and not be a part of it. But yeah, if anybody's listening that really appreciates YouTube, you should probably let us know and we'll see what we can do.
Yeah. But yeah, other than that, thanks for doing this, man. Appreciate it. We should do this more. And yeah.
Oh, you notice something different? I haven't stuttered once. Yeah, there's no
freezing. Yeah.
Guess what?
What?
I got a new modem yesterday.
Rad.
Yeah, I think that was it.
Cool, man. That's it's good.
All
news.
Those things I kept doing were for nothing, it seems. But that's cool. I'm glad that it's working. So
stuff breaks and we figure it out.
Yep, that's it.
Right on.
All right, man. Guys. Well, peace out.
Thanks for listening, guys. Love you all. Bye bye.
I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for me. I'm not signed on to killing all those old people or those black babies. Fuck you, motherfucking New World Order. I will get your ass. Delay that. It pisses me off. You sign on to playing God, you get burned. And all you dumbasses that serve the New World Order are idiots. Playing God all day. Deciding who lives and who dies.
Penis man.
And then I find out they're all screwing little kids and devil worshiping. Of course they are. Oh, you're the big elites. Oprah Winfrey and Ted Turner and Bill Clinton and Epstein, all in that seven-story pervert building in New York. What a bunch of freaks. And the fact that those pedophiles, and I'm calling Oprah Winfrey one, hope she burns in hell. Every damn one of you's a piece of crap. And you're going to be judged. So you just continue to enjoy hurting babies and hurting old people and hurting homeless people and turn us all into a bunch of idiots. Because you will be destroyed.
Mom, I'm transgender.